Okay, good morning.
That's all. I mean, the class is, this number is more or less the full number of you. No? There are many places empty. Okay. No problem. I probably should talk inside here. It's better. It's worse. Can I have a return from you? Is that better or this is better?
Same.
This way?
Same.
Same. Okay. Okay, same. Let's say same. It's more comfortable for me. Anyway, it's probably quite early. I have to wait a little bit, in your opinion? Yeah? I mean, I don't know how you are used to arrive to the class. Are you late usually? There are many people late? Yeah? Do you start usually at 9, at 10 past 9 or something? I mean, I am asking you. You don't know? You don't know?
No, usually.
At 9 o'clock. Okay, we start. Okay. So, let me introduce myself. My name is Michele De Bortoli. As you can understand from the name, I'm Italian. Probably also from the pronunciation of English. Anyway, that's good. And the course will be given by two teachers. The first part is me, myself, and the second part is Santina Cutrupi. Actually, we work together in the same department, so the communication is easy. And during the course, we will also have some assistants. Giulio Ferrero is the guy from the Department of Computer Sciences that will take care of the practical. You will have 4 to 6 hours each of you, I mean, from the students, for making some exercise on computers. Okay. So actually, it's a mixed bioinformatics, molecular biology event, but anyway. And then we will have Lucia, who is a PhD from Barcelona, who is giving you a lecture, and Jamal El Sanoui, who is a PhD from Morocco, will give you another lecture to you. So this is the same story. Sorry for the year, I just forgot to change it. Actually the seminars, I don't know I still don't know the time for that, because we have to go for the reservation of the computer room, so I don't know yet, but I will communicate to you as soon as possible. And the seminars are there, so Lucia will give you a lecture on circular RNAs. This is a kind of novel story. And Jamal El Sanoui will give you a lecture on alternative splicing. But still, I don't know where. Okay, it depends on how we go with our lessons. Okay. So let me introduce myself. This is my CV. So as you can see from my hair, I'm not young. So I started working in 1980, and I started working in private industry, actually. So I made my first postdoc in this LBM Institute by Medical Research that is still there. I mean, now it's Merck in Ivrea, and they actually make toxicology and pharmacology studies for the allowance of drugs, new drugs. Okay. Then I moved to USA in Bethesda, where there is the National Cancer Institute, where I made the second postdoc in this period of time, and then I went back to Torino, and I was a research assistant here in biochemistry. Then I moved again to Basel, Switzerland, where I stayed for 1 year. as a visiting scientist at the Friedrich Michel Institute. And I was back to Torino, and then I moved to the Institute of Cancer Research and Treatment in Candiolo for something like 8 years or something. In that period also I make a short visit to USA in La Jolla, in Rosenfeld's lab, and then I became a professor, real professor. I was back to here, and I was in the Department of Clinical and Biological Sciences that is located at the San Luigi Hospital in Orbassano. Okay, that makes half an hour from here, driving. And okay, so I got also some major responsibility as a director of the Center for Molecular Systems Biology and coordinator of the PhD program in Complex Systems in Biology. So that's the story. So, okay, as a point of view of research, I was starting with, when I was in the RBM Institute in Ivrea, I started working in biochemical oncology. It means that we were working on markers, okay, in breast cancers. And this is the reason why I moved to USA, because we were collaborating with people in USA, and they asked me to go there. I said, yes, okay. Ready? So we started working with oncogenes, RAS and RB2, always in breast cancer. Okay, and then I was back to Torino and tried to work on tyrosine kinase receptor expression, always in breast cancer. Breast cancer is accompanying me at the end. So it's okay. And then I started moving to gene expression profiling at the very beginning of the genomic era in 2003. And I also dealt with estrogen and anti-estrogen effects on gene expression. And this is a particularly important story because, as you all know, in breast cancer is cured by using tamoxifen, that is anti-estrogen. So that was a kind of important story. And then we moved to predictive marker in gene signature. This was the period in which microarrays appeared in the world. So we started looking for gene expression profiles with microarrays. And when the next generation sequencing appeared, so in 2008-2010, we started looking for networks of coding and non-coding genes in estrogen receptor as a main point of our research. So now what we are doing now is the genomic action of unliganded estrogen receptor alpha, which is one of the variants of the estrogen receptor in humans, and unliganded because now the common therapy today is no longer tamoxifen. This is not correct. I mean, still tamoxifen is used in some patients, but the main therapy is aromatase inhibitors. Aromatase inhibitors deprive the body from estrogens. So we discovered that actually in breast cancer the receptor, estrogen receptor, is still there, is still expressed in tumor cells, okay, but there is no estrogen. So we started looking for any kind of action of estrogen receptor without estrogen. It seems a contradiction, but actually it has genomic actions, and so we started looking for that. And finally, we are working today in estrogen receptor, how it controls and uses non-coding RNAs and circular RNAs in a network of control of cellular activity. So this is the latest subject we are dealing with. Okay, coming to our course. Of course, it's called Advanced Molecular Biology, and the only message in that title is that you have to possess a background molecular biology knowledge, because this is the second course, okay? And there are many subjects we can deal with, but the main focus is regulatory genomics. So we will go through the genomics and try to understand how genome functions are regulated in cells. Okay, so this is the main point we will explore. Okay, so we will go through the functional organization of genomes, especially the human one. Okay, we could also go to, I don't know, prokaryotic genomes or viral genomes or, I don't know, plant genomes. I'm sorry, I'm not an expert of that. So it's completely useless to have a teacher who is not an expert of something. It's better to have experts. I'm expert in mammalian genomes, in human genomes, so I will teach you that, okay? And then we will explore the mechanism for regulation and the motifs and the networks that regulate the function of genomes. Okay. Then we move to regulatory networks. And then the final part that I'm not teaching to you, but is Santina Kutrupi will teach you, is the connection of what we have learned here with human disease. Okay, so you will see examples of how the variations in genome function will lead to neurological disease, to cancer, other disease, inflammatory disease, and so on. Okay, so it's a kind of let's say a application of knowledge. Okay, the structure of the course is this one. So you will have more or less 38 hours of lectures with me. And also you will have hands-on database and browser exercise, practice, okay? Not with me, with this guy, Giulio Ferrero, that I mentioned to you. And we will have also a report activity. The report activity is up to you. I mean, yeah, students, you will prepare a report and expose to the class. Okay? And this will make more or less 10 hours because you will make the report in two of you, I mean, couples. Okay? And each report will take about half an hour. So I evaluate that you are 40, more or less. Is that correct? Yeah. So it makes 10 hours. Okay. And then you have the second module by Santina Kutrupi that will take about 22 hours lecture. Okay? The organization is this one. Okay, let me just go through the... today is not a real lesson. I'm just introducing the course. So. Let me go through what we have written on the CampusNet course, just to explain you why. So, as a first point, is objectives of the course. So, the goals are written there. So, the student will acquire advanced level of knowledge on the activity of genes and genomes, and the mechanisms of genome regulation at the transcriptional and post-transcriptional level. In context of development, differentiation, cellular homeostasis, and cancer. Okay, so this is the goal. Okay, so in the first part, we also deal with methods. But don't think that we talk about methods. So the main subject of the course is not method. The method is a tool to arrive to knowledge. Okay, so in present days, we use a lot of, you know, next generation sequencing, bioinformatics, and whatever. So we have to go through these methods, of course, to understand which kind of knowledge we can reach from that application. But it's not the main objective of our course, okay? Also because maybe that in 10 years we have different methods. So the knowledge is important, the method is very important in the sense that it gives you the idea of what we know. Okay? So we go through microarrays, next generation sequencing, epigenomics, protein DNA, protein RNA interaction, and proteomics and whatever. And this part is quite important in the sense that we try to coordinate with the bioinformatics course. So I moved some of the subject looking for back from the past years. I moved some subject in order to be coordinated with the bioinformatics course. So for example, tomorrow we will discuss the structure of human genome, just because Professor Cordero is taking the course of bioinformatics. We start with NGS, how NGS is done. And so you need to have an idea how our genome is composed to be ready for bioinformatics. And in the second part of the course, you will acquire the ability to use this theoretical knowledge you have hopefully acquired in the first part in solving applicative problems in biomedicine, essentially through the study of literature. So what Santina Kutrupi will do is to take articles and try to analyze and explain what they contain and which kind of perspective in medicine they give. The specific objective, especially of my model, is we will make the point of how molecular biology has evolved since the end of the Human Genome Project. So how there is, two eras in the story of molecular biology: before Human Genome Project, after Genome Project. So the perspective has changed very deeply. So this is one of the points we have to understand. Then we go through the advancement in regulatory biology thanks to genomics. Also in this case, we have very different ideas, unfortunately. So we will see that. Okay. And this is the introduce students to understand molecular biology at the system level. This is the shorter period, but it's probably the most important. Today we have really to step from understanding a single reaction, a single pathway, a single regulation, to understand how they stand in a system. You remember the long story of the fly that moves in China and you have an effect in Europe or something. It's the same. Actually, a cell is a real complex system, and everything you move in something in the cell has effect on everything in the cell. So we have to really to try to place our knowledge from the single to the whole. Okay. Then another story is that, of course, we try to guide you to reading and interpretation of articles in the field. This is another story. And finally, application we talked about, so it's the same. The outcomes we expect, this also is important because saying that it is expected outcomes, it means that I will ask you that for exams. So an expected outcome is something that I expect to reach, so I will verify that in the exam. Okay? So knowledge. We have three chapters in the expected outcomes. Knowledge. The most common analytical methods in genomics and transcriptomics. Okay? So this is a knowledge. It's nothing really to reason about. Just know. Okay? The most important modalities of transcription and regulation in higher eukaryotes. Mechanism of alternative RNA transcript generation. We will see this is a very novel subject, okay? Including non-coding RNAs and associated functions. The constitutive principles of gene regulatory networks and the involvement and dysfunction of components of these networks in human disease. So this will be ascertained during the exam. This is ability. So that was knowledge, this is ability. We hope that you will be able to do literature searches, and this will be verified by your choice of the articles that you will report. Okay? So I won't give you the articles to report. You will be responsible to choose an article, and the first grade in the evaluation of what you do is how you choose the article. Okay? So for example, some of you can arrive to me and bring me an article about waterfalls in Canada, and it will have zero as an evaluation grade of that, because it has nothing to do with the course. Okay? Good. To search for information and expose a summary of the main methods means that, of course, during the reading that you make of literature, usually in the papers there is no description of real methods. Okay, so you will be responsible to search from other sources how the method is composed. Okay. Analyze, interpret, and report publicly. I mean, with the class on recent scientific articles. This is the reporting activity I told you about. Okay. To interpret results and diagrams relating to the main issue discussed. So we will discuss the figures. Okay. When you are at the exam and we open a paper, taking a figure and ask you, What is illustrated in this figure? Which method? What it tells to us? And so on. And then to expose briefly one of the topics of the course with specific reference to genomics and methodology. This is part of the exam. You will see shortly, but anyway, I can anticipate to you. The first question at the exam is a subject. Not a real question. Something like, talk briefly about chromatin. And you will be completely free. I will be completely silent for 10 minutes. Terrible. And you will expose something about chromatin. Okay? So this is what I mean. The ability to expose briefly one of the topics. Note that you will have the list of all the possible first questions on the site, okay? So you will find all chromatin, all the promoters, enhancers, blah, blah, okay? So this will be the first question, so you can understand how to do. And this is the understanding, okay? So the first was knowledge, second is ability, and third is understanding. And understanding is how a system molecular biology study is planned and conducted. Okay, so when we analyze the articles, I will ask you how the strategy of the research was done. Okay, so what the authors of the article thought and planned to arrive to the solution. Okay. Of course, which methodological approach should be used to answer a specific scientific question? So when you have a problem, which approach you have to use? And what information can be obtained from genomic analysis to understand the molecular mechanism associated with disease? So again, what kind of genomics analysis you can do to and try to understand the disease, okay, again. And finally, how to use the knowledge to develop a potential therapeutic strategy for disease. Of course, for the disease that we analyze in the course, no problem. Too much. Okay, so this is reflected to the exam organization. So the students are expected to show knowledge of basic concepts, understanding of specific concepts, and comprehension of experimental methodology. Okay? What is this? Knowledge of basic concept is that this is an advanced molecular biology course. So you should not, you cannot arrive to the exam and say, we are talking about, I don't know, RNA polymerase, you don't know what is an RNA polymerase, it's not possible. I don't explain in this course what is RNA polymerase. You should know it from the first course. Specific concepts are those that I explained during the course. Okay, so that is the story. A methodology, so you have to understand the experimental methodology we use to arrive to the knowledge. So, during the exam, we will have actually three steps. Okay, so during the course, you will have this reporting activity that I told you about. Okay, so students selecting, analyzing, and reporting to the class a scientific paper on specific themes. Okay, this will be evaluated by myself. Okay, and then there is another activity that are students' activity on the Moodle website. You used already Moodle website in the first course, so you will have some activity over there. Okay, I make a sum of all your activities, and this will be evaluated 3 to 4 points, no more than that, okay? Then you will have a grade for your reporting, and overall you can get up to 30 out of 30 in this activity. This is an internal evaluation. Then we will have, after the course, so at the exam, we will have a Moodle test with scoring and open questions, so multiple choice and open questions. Usually open questions are on articles. So Santina Kutrupi will take pictures from figures from articles and ask you specific questions on that. Okay? And this will be evaluated again 33 out of 30. And then you will have a short interview with me on core subjects, of course, and again you will get 33 out of 30, and then we make an average. Okay, so like this. Okay, due to the structure of this proficiency evaluation that we plan, of course, I suggest you very strongly, as far as you can, to try to follow step by step. This is, I mean, in my experience, it's very important. In my experience, all the students that could follow all the activities step by step, exercise, practice, and blah, blah, reports, and so on, they usually give the exam in June or July, and they have excellent grades, usually. Okay? So that's a rule of two. Due to the particular content of this course, usually if you wait too much, it's really more difficult. I'm not saying that in my interest, I mean, for me, saying if you arrive giving the exam in July or September or April or whatever, for me it's the same. I mean, but I strongly suggest you, if you can, I understand that some of you may have different difficulties or whatever, but if you can, do it, okay? Especially because the knowledge that we try to understand is complementary. If you understand the first lesson and you study the first lesson, you make the first activity, you will probably understand better the second one, and so on. So it's a kind of complementary story, okay? This is just a comment. As you have seen, I've been in other countries, and it's only in Italy that we have this kind of exams forever. It's really funny. I mean, most of the countries you have an exam at the end of the course, and that's it. So this is a kind of very, very funny story. Anyway, okay. So, in the first part, we will have five chapters. Okay, so we have five chapters different. And for each chapter, you will have one review and one scientific paper. Do you know what is a scientific review? Yes, it's an article that actually sums up all the recent knowledge on a subject. Okay, usually these reviews are written by scientists, okay, that are specialists of a specific group. So for each chapter, I will give you one, at least one review, maybe sometimes two, but anyway, it's. And you will have for each chapter also a scientific paper. In the sense, scientific paper means an original research article reporting things. Usually, I don't use very recent paper, because a very recent paper is better you study for your reports. I used to bring you to you strong paper that have been well established in the scientific community. So papers that have made a solid background for a subject. I strongly suggest you to read this material before the lectures. So the review and scientific paper are there at the very beginning, at the opening of the chapter, okay, in advance. And then we make the chapter that takes something like 4 to 5 lessons, or sometimes 6 lessons, okay? But if you have read the review, at least the review, in advance, you will understand 10 times more what I'm talking about. So that's an important point. So if you do that, when we make the lecture, we try to discuss the assigned paper, okay? And we refresh the basic knowledge about the subject, okay? And then try to go inside the papers themselves, okay? And we will try to discuss other scientific papers contributing knowledge to the subject. Okay, everything is on Moodle website. This is the address. And you will find this material. So first, you will have something that I call textbook. It's not, of course, a real textbook. It will contain the review or reviews that, this is important, that you will use for studying the subjects. Okay? After that, we will talk about books, but actually we don't have any book, okay? We only have reviews. Then we have a second folder that contains the PDFs of the lectures we are showing there, okay? So that for your comfort, this is not a reference material for studying, okay? It's just if you want to recover what I said at the lectures, okay? And I put also the audio. Okay, so I will put the MP3 file over there, so if you want to listen again, my lesson. Anyway. Okay, then you have a third folder with research papers. Okay, and then I put also bibliography. This is not something that you have to study. This is the scientific literature I use to set up my lesson. But I put there just because maybe that you want to check something. Okay, if you don't understand some concept, you can go through there. Then we will have exercise and task. Okay, so they are called activities, and you can do it. They usually have a time. So, for example, today you will have one activity, the first activity, and you will have time until tomorrow at 9. It's a short activity, it's not a long activity. Okay. And this makes this first evaluation that I told you. And then there is a background help, at the very end of the site, you will find as a last chapter, background name, that are just materials for those of you who don't have sufficient basic knowledge. There is a movie on the Human Genome Project. There is some basic stories about transcription and translation and whatever. And there is also an electronic book that you will see for your help, just helping you, okay? So, okay, in the textbook, one or more reviews for students, okay? They contain the most essential knowledge on this subject, okay? Sometimes, you say maybe very often, I don't know, we will see, sometimes you may have difficulty. It's common. I have difficulties in reading papers, scientific papers, because sometimes you can encounter words or terms or something that you don't know. It's human, I mean, nobody knows everything, okay? So you can go, there are good friends to help you online, okay? You can either go to NCBI MBL that you will try to learn in the course, that are public databases of biotechnology. And whenever you have something that is a protein, a gene, a pathway or something like this one, you can go to NCBI MBL, I will show you. Enrich the information, okay? Very easy, no, nothing really terrible, okay? So just now, you encounter, in your review, you encounter a term, like, for example, a name of a gene, like what is this? Is this? Yes, maybe. Okay, so you may encounter a name of a gene, like, for example, ERBI2, okay? That you saw before, you don't remember, you don't know, whatever, you go to NCBI, type ERBI2, it will give you a short information, but real information, okay? So you can understand what it is. Second, don't be afraid about Wikipedia. Wikipedia is something that is really checked by molecular biologists, so I made sometimes reviews on this, and 90% of the information there is true. Okay, so I used it. Okay, sometimes I don't know something about something, and I go to Wikipedia and I find it. Okay? Then if you are not sure about what you see, ask me, no problem. Okay? But it's good. And the important concept is, don't leave words that you don't know in your concept. When you read something in the article, don't leave the words empty. This is very important as a knowledge. We have to understand everything. Sometimes I spend most of my time to understand the words, to set up the lesson, because it's really important. Okay? So, do little study, but deep. Okay? And another excellent solution is to use the Moodle forum. You have in Moodle, you have the students forum. You can ask, you can put questions over there, and the other people will see it and answer. Okay? So there is no specific textbook, as I told you. I don't have any book in particular, but of course it may be convenient for you to have a reference book. Okay, so it's on your choice. Okay, as I told you, I put as a last, in the last part of the Moodle site, there is a link to an electronic book that is completely free. That is the last edition of the Molecular Biology of the Gene, Watson et al. Okay, this is an electronic book. You can find reference. Okay. If you don't remember how transcription is made, okay, go there, short chapter, understand, and go home. But if you want to buy a book, an electronic book or whatever, a paper book, or as you like, There are two great books. One is Genesis 12. This is a classical use. Genesis has been a real a basic stone in molecular biology. Lewis is the name of the first author of this book that now is not, I think he's dead, unfortunately, but other authors are continue to adjourn this story. And you can see it there. Do we have line here? Maybe. Try. Let me try. What is this? Okay. So this is the site. Okay, so this is the site. This is the book. Okay. Don't be afraid about the prices. This is not the price. You can find it on Amazon, much cheaper. Okay. Much cheaper than that one. But it's a real excellent book. Real excellent for basic biology. Okay, so whenever you have a taste for basic molecular biology, I suggest that one. If you are, let's say, more interested in the application of molecular biology and genetics to medicine, there is another excellent book that is this Genetics and Genomics in Medicine by Tom Strachan, who is the reference author for human genetics. Okay, so it has a very recent edition here. Let me see if it works. Maybe it works. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Anyway, you will see. Follow this link, you will find the story, okay? And this is a very real excellent book, but that's a genetic background, okay? So the many chapters are on classical genetics, Mendelian genetics, and so on. Instead, the other one, Genes 12, that I told you, many chapters are DNA replication, and basic transcription, whatever, okay? So it's difference. So please take a picture of that. I won't use the PDF for exam, okay? I mean, the slides that I show you there is for us to understand the subject, but it's not a reference, okay? So you can revise, you can use them. I give you the PDF on the Moodle site for your convenience, but it's not the material to prepare your exam. You will prepare the exam on reviews, okay? When I make interview with you at the exam, I will take the review and find something over there and ask you, okay? So the reviews are your reference textbook, okay? Good. Well. Okay, so what is this research paper? These are only five research papers that I give to you in Moodle in the different chapters. And they have to be studied carefully, very carefully. Spend a lot of time on those when you prepare the exam. I will tell you again in the future. But you have to really to spend a lot of time to understand everything of that article, okay? Because I will really go deep in your preparation about research paper. It's very important to me. Okay, and this I told you about the bibliography. Bibliography is just for reference. It's not anything really. So these Moodle activities that I put on Moodle are either small quiz, so like tests, okay? Or I don't know if you are familiar with Moodle lessons. You never did? Moodle lessons are consecutive pages. I mean, you have a text or figure or something explaining your concept, and then at the very end you have a small question. And only answering that question you will go to the following page. Never use that. Good. So is that is intended to review something that we have explained here. Okay? And so we go through, but it's very easy to go. But anyway. Or you will also find technical forums. This is a kind of interesting story because, for example, I mentioned to you that I try to make methodology, but not going, this is not the subject of the course. Okay? So one thing that we can do, actually in the past years was very, very nice, is that you will choose subjects, you as a student, in groups usually, you will take subjects and try to make a wiki. For example, NGS, okay? Next Generation Sequencing, there are many flowers and variants and biotechnological stories. And so we will have that subject, NGS. Some of you, maybe four or five students, whatever, they choose that subject as an activity and they will fill a wiki on that. Okay? And this will serve to the other people to understand the story. Okay? I will give you the subjects shortly. Okay. This participation, of course, is, I told you already, will be evaluated. Okay. No comment. You can read. Good. So this is the background. I told you already about background, so we can probably stop here for a while. Okay. Yeah, this also I told you. This Watson and molecular biology gene. Okay. This is the these are repetition. Anyway, this is something that when there is some basic concept that you need to revise to understand the subject, I usually put a green spot like this one. Okay, so I will not describe that subject for you, but when you find in the slide this, it means that you have to make a self-examination. Say, do I know the mechanism of DNA replication? I don't. Okay, go to revise. Okay, this is the story. Okay, this I told you already, and that's it for the presentation. If you have question now, otherwise we move on. Please think about it. No question. Great. So we can. Do you have a cell phone or a computer or whatever with you? Do you? Yeah. Can we move to the Moodle side just to make it? Okay. So you can enroll, first of all, you can enroll in the site. That's important. Let me see if I can reach it also. I don't understand it. Okay. Actually, let me see. Okay. Questo è il coso che avevamo prima. Okay, this is the site I told you before, Tom Sack, genetics and genomics. Actually, it was in the background, I didn't see. Okay. Let me see if I can reach the other side there. Si vede un cazzo stasera, detto in italiano, in buon italiano. Vero che non si vede niente? Come si fa a vedere sta roba? Non funziona più. Cioè dice che non trova il server. Dice che non trova il server. Vabbè, ci vado io, va. Madonna mia, ma che stress sta cosa. Ok, so, andiamo qua, va. Ok. Impossibile raggiungere il sito, fantastico. Have you reached the Moodle site? Yes, I can do it from here. I don't know why. It's a kind of problem with the network in this department is particularly. It's particularly bad. So we don't know what happens. La linea attaccata, eccetera. Ma sì che c'era, perché abbiamo preso la... Ah, adesso, guarda. Incredibile sta cosa, guarda. Anyway. So this is the campus net. Why it doesn't go to the other one? I don't know. Okay, let me see. Have you reached the story? Yes. So you can enroll in the course? Are you enrolled now? Dov'è che c'è il corso dei corsi qua? Courses. Bellissimo. I don't know why I cannot go in the CBN. This is really, really fantastic. Oh my God. Why don't you write a letter to the ECT service in the UNITO saying that it's a disaster? Disaster. Don't worry, I have a solution. Okay. Neanche questo, siamo a posto. È un vero disastro sta cosa. Yeah. bene? Ci siamo? Can you see this?
Okay.
Are you there? Okay, everyone is in?
Yes.
Yeah, good. So you have this structure just to show you, because there is something that you don't see, of course. So you probably see, what you see? You probably see this and this, right?
Yes.
You don't see this.
No.
Okay. Just because it's hidden, because this is a mirror of the last year course. And they have to change something, so I will show you when is adjourned, okay? So this also, you have students' activity, as you can see here, and you probably don't see that, okay? There is the student wiki on methodology, whatever, also this one will be open shortly, so don't worry about. And just to show you how the different chapters are organized, okay? The introduction that we are doing today is today in is just a short story, okay? And I talk you shortly about these two stories now, okay? So be quiet. And the organization of the chapters is this one. So chapter one, you don't see that, no problem. Textbook, as you can see, research paper, folder, and other activities. All these are lessons. Okay, so these are the activities, and this is bibliography that I told you about. Okay, so every chapter is organized like this one. The activities will be open at the appropriate time and closed at the appropriate time. Okay, after the completion of the course, so when the course is over, I will open again all the activities. So we find the same activities, but in open. So you can do it again, okay? The first one will be evaluated, the second is not, okay? Good, so just see a little bit up to the, my mouse, I cannot see anymore, my mouse. My mouse is there. Okay. So if you please, you can go to this section here, introduction, and you have a first small activity that is called entering the course. Can you do it for me, please? You don't have a computer.
No, I have a computer. I have a parents, Mr. Student, and I don't know why, but I can't.
You are Erasmus?
Yes, but I can't enter the middle.
Oh, yeah, because probably you don't have the name over there. I will try to include you, but I'm sorry for that. I will include you, but not now. I mean, I can't do it now. So, let me see.
I
understood. Yeah. I get the point. The problem is that I cannot allow now you to enter. But I will do after the lesson.
Okay, but I can't see the other lesson. I just can't go on the
I understand, because your name is not in the court. Okay, so
okay.
We have to enter your name.
Okay.
But I cannot do it, because I have not the privilege to do it. I have to go to the system manager and tell him your name. He will put the your name in the cohort, and then you will be allowed to enter. Don't worry, you can follow what your colleague is doing. So when you enter the course, there is one question, one single question. Sorry, doesn't work?
Exactly.
What it means is empty.
It's not around anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
So I made the first terrible mistake. Okay, let me do it. No problem. Not a disabling, but okay, so you have to start it, probably. I don't know how to do. really? okay. Okay, start session. Okay, good. Session name is required. Which is the name of session? I don't know. Wait a minute. Just put a... Okay, good. Reload, please. Start. I can start it now. Okay, the question is out now. It's not a real question. It asks for your previous education. Please put inside your bachelor title. If you are a chemist, or a biologist, or a biotechnologist, or a philosopher.
So just biology?
Yeah. Yes, please. So when you answer this question, you have a feedback, right? No? I have to close the test. So please fill it. I'm just playing with you today. No problem. So, everybody's centered. The story, please. Anyone is late? Done? Okay, can I close? Okay. Okay. So, as you can see, I have all these answers, and now you probably have a feedback. Is there a feedback?
Yes.
Please, click on the feedback. When you click on the feedback, you go to a Google site. Nothing?
No.
Really? Cioè lei l'ha fatto e è andato sul modulo di Google?
Sì, dato il link e sono arrivato.
Invece allora non va?
Non va.
A me esce questo.
Io non so niente di questa cosa, ma ha ricaricato? C'era il mio feedback? Il feedback è solo un link. C'era? Ah, ma perché lei non è dentro come unito? Oh, sorry, I forgot to say that you have to be in unito. Not on another account, of course. If you have a Pinco Pallino, Gmail, whatever. you have to be Pinco Pallino at Edu.
It's
allowed only to users. I can probably open in. Let me see. Do you want me to open also to users from the United outside UNITA? I can do it. I go to the. Let's see. Come si fa a invitare la gente? Find it. Okay. So, just in the few minutes that we have now, just to start. So just to explain a little bit what is the main subject of the course, okay? Then I will explain you in 3 minutes, 5 minutes, the paper that you have a responsibility to read today. Especially because there is no bioinformatics lesson. That's true? Okay. So a little talk, okay? What you see there, genomes are extraordinarily complex. So this is real true. Because whenever it's an old story. When we were before, let's say, the Human Genome Project, we were saying, okay, genomes, okay, the DNA, the genes, blah, blah. So a simple story, a molecule of DNA with genes. And in our old concept, all the genes were just coding for proteins, okay? And there were sequences in between, okay? Everybody of you knows that there is a gene, then there is intergenic space in the DNA, then another gene, and what? So, and we had, at that time, we had a very common and trivial concept, that is, everything in DNA that is not a gene is junk. Okay. So this is really not true. Completely false. In the sense that starting with the analysis of genomes that took place in the last 15 years, we progressively understood that actually there are many, many other things in genomes, like genes that encode RNAs that do not encode proteins, but are regulatory. Okay, so they have a regulatory function. We will see how. Okay. Second, we have learned that many genes that encode for proteins have many different transcripts. So there is no, the old story, one gene, one molecule of RNA, one protein is not true. Most of our genes actually encode more than one transcript that will make more than one RNA that will probably encode for more than one protein. Okay, so we see that carefully and thoroughly. So, many other parts of the genome encode for different stories. For example, a common knowledge in, let's say, 10 years ago, something like this, there were reviews telling, okay, the genome is full of something that is called dark matter. Means sequences that are a little bit conserved phylogenetically. Okay, so you can find in mouse, in rats, in primates, in human, but they don't have any coding any function, and we don't know why, and so and so. And they are repetitive in the sense that half of the human genome is repetitive sequences. You probably heard about ELU, L-A-U-1 sequences. They are short sequences like 300 base pairs long. And we have 1.5 million copies in our genome. 1.5 million. I'm not kidding. So you have these 300 nucleotides repeated 1.5 million copies throughout our chromosomes. Okay, so they are repetitive sequences, and nobody knows what they are. We have other sequences that are called lines, signs, LTR, and so on, and we don't know what they are. Just yesterday, we had a doctorate seminar at MBC, and there were 5 speakers telling us about this. Repetitive sequences that are called generally as transposable elements, TE, and they started to find functions. They started to show us that some of them have regulatory functions. Some of them are actually domesticated, you say, in the sense they are retroviral derived sequences that actually have assumed a regulatory function in our genome. So there are many, many things that we don't know, and so our genomes are really, really complex. Also, there is another story in the human genome that I have to tell you about, just as an introduction, that whenever you studied probably genomes or gene organization in E. coli, that is the classical model organism for classical molecular biology. And you saw that there is a model of operon. You remember this operon model? Do you? Yeah? And you remember that what is an operon? Operon is a sequence of protein coding sequences that actually refer to the same metabolism. You remember that galactose operon? It has all the enzymes that allow the cell to use galactose instead of glucose, right? So they use lactose. The first is beta galactosidase that cuts the lactose in two, and then blah blah. Okay, so it's a logic. I mean, it's a human logic in some sense. It's a bacterial logic, but it's also a human logic. If I have to make a recipe in my kitchen, I probably have all the ingredients in the same sheet in the book, not in different parts of the books, right? So it's logic. I have all the coding DNA for enzymes that are used to make the same function. They are linearly organized. Okay, in the eukaryotic genomes, forget it. Completely forget it. And this is another level of complexity. Whenever you look for a human genome and you find 6 enzymes or 10 enzymes that are used to make, for example, glucose utilization, okay? They are spread away in all the chromosomes in different places. So there is no linear logic in the genome. It's like your computer hard disk. The pieces are not linearly organized in the disk. They have different addresses. Okay? So this implies that the regulation of this is very complex. Because if you have the coding sequences, one close to the other, in a linear way, you just put a switch. We call it a promoter, right? You remember the term promoter? Yeah. We can call switch off, and then you express all the process that you need. Very easy. If you have all the genes dispersed throughout the genome, it's a little more complex. You have to make transcription factors. Transcription factor should find a way in the complex of the chromosome to find the correct genes, and then convince the RNA polymerase to transcribe them in a corresponding amount also. Okay? Because if you have the operon, you make the same amount of messenger RNA, the same amount of proteins. But if you are this person, what happens? Maybe that this gene is, makes 100 copies, the other one makes 10. So you have to coordinate not only qualitatively, but also quantitatively. Let's make a problem. Probably it's not a problem for the cell, but for us to understand it, yes, it is. Okay? Good. So we have this kind of stories that I told you. So this is the situation of our gene. Not this one, this one. Okay. Of course, our genomes are also very complex because we are multicellular organisms. Okay? So we have many different types of cells that do different jobs and that arrive to their final differentiation through steps. Okay? So the genome should encode different functions, different cell types, and different steps to arrive to the final function. And everything is in the genome. Okay? So if you look at one cell type in a specific moment of its life, you find only a portion of the genome that is active, that is used. Something that is intuitive. No? Okay, if you look at the, I don't know, at the brain cells, for example, neurons, do they produce lactalbumin? In your opinion. The question is, do neurons produce lactalbumin? No. What is the cell type which produces lactalbumin? I didn't get what you said. I didn't get the word, sorry.
Cells in the liver.
Not in the lactalbumin. What is lact? The milk. Which kind of cell produces lactalbumin? Mammary gland. Sorry for that joke, but I mean, each cell type in our body produces different proteins, different RNAs, a network of different genes are activated and different networks are repressed. Okay? I could have questioned you differently. For example, do brain cell neurons produce immunoglobulins? Uh-huh. What is your answer? I make you a quiz. What you check, yes or not? The question is, do brain cells, neurons or glia, whatever, but neurons, produce immunoglobulins?
No.
Okay. Which cell type produces immunoglobulins? Who? What?
Lymphocytes.
Good. Lymphocytes. Okay. So, next level. Next level of this game is why? So, immunoglobulins is encoded by a locus. Okay, a locus in the chromosome. I don't remember which one, but anyway, there is a locus encoding for the immunoglobulin. Okay. Now, neurons do not express immunoglobulin. So, why they do not express immunoglobulin? In which state is immunoglobulin gene? It is repressed. Correct. But when we look at the state,
okay,
heterochromatic. Okay? So that gene will be heterochromatic. That means is in a condition, we will study that very, very in depth. Okay, so don't worry now. But this is in a state, physical state, in which no transcription is possible. Okay? And we stay that like this for all the life of the cell. Okay? Neurons will never express immunoglobulin. So they keep the gene. The gene is not eliminated from the DNA of the neuron, but is in repressed state. Okay? And vice versa. So of course, if you look at the lymphocyte, it will have the gene in euchromatic state. Okay? And we have different genes in the heterochromatic. Okay, so this is what we see in all the activities. Okay, whenever you look at cell division and development, the cell will activate specific gene to divide, specific genes to differentiate, and so on. And looking at the story in another way, the other way around, is the cell will decide to not eliminate, but to heterochromatize specific genes and specific part of the gene. And the same in cellular differentiation, tissue organization, and blah, 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 blah. And then we have other activities that are quicker, but not less important. Cell-to-cell communication. A cell to another cell say, okay, divide or die or whatever, okay? And this will activate genes or repress other genes. So you have a regulation. Or response to stimuli. Okay, response to stimuli. What is a stimuli? For example, I talk about what I know very well from research, estrogens, hormones. Okay, so the cell is reached by a hormone. The hormone will activate a signal transduction, you remember from cell biology, right? And then it goes to the genome saying, okay, switch on this gene, switch off that other gene, and blah, blah. Okay, so activate a gene program to respond to the stimuli. Or response to environment, same story. Okay, it's too hot, it's too cold, or whatever. Or we lack nutrients, we lack oxygen, hypoxia. Okay, so you have a response. Or death, of course, death is an important part of the life of a cell. Okay, and whatever. And all this is encoded by the genome. So you have an important regulation of the activity that is needed to build up an organism like this one. So just as an example, you see that this is the illustrate a development of one of the organs that actually have a postnatal development, that is the mammary gland. Not many organs have this kind of postnatal development. And so when you have at the birth, there is a real rudimentary gland that is only few branches. It's really very, very initial, let's say. Then at the puberty, you have the first development. Okay, so the gland branches out, much more branches, and so on. So you reach a state like this one, okay? And then when you have the estrous cycles, this is illustrating a mouse. So estrous, of course, if we talk about humans, it's estrous, but anyway, it's more or less the same story. And you have super branching. So you have a further development of the gland during estrous cycle, and then you have pregnancy. And in pregnancy, you have the spectacular development of the gland that actually reaches the functional stories. Here, you have lactalbumin production, casein production, and all that, the milk. Okay? So because here, you have to be ready for the birth for the kids, okay, babies, okay. All this is regulated by hormones, okay. So this in the scale you have in the very first phase you have glucocorticoids, then you have growth hormone, okay, and then you have estrogens that are very important for this development, especially for the growth, in the sense that growth means proliferation of cells, okay. And so the estrogens are the mainly regulator of proliferation, and this is the reason why also in cancer, when you have breast cancer, that means mammary gland tumors, you have estrogen action. So the growth of the tumor in the mammary gland is led by estrogens. If you eliminate estrogens, you stop the growth. Okay, and this is exactly the same phenomenon during development in the mouth, in the mammary gland, for the first, very first development. Then when you start differentiation, progesterone, progestins plays a role. Progestins are hormones that actually rise up only during pregnancy. Progesterone means that, okay, is the word. And then when you arrive to the birth, you have prolactin. Prolactin is the hormone that is secreted by hypophysis that led the cells to produce all the components of the milk. Okay. So this here, all of those phenomena that you see here are gene programs, okay, that are activated in this case by different hormones or a mixing of different hormones. Okay, so this is a term, says activate timely specific genetic programs to give diversified functions. And genetic program, here we have two definitions, just to remember. What we call genetic program is just a concept, is the sum of all the gene products that are needed to reach a function. Okay, this is called a genetic program. Gene expression is a little different story. The gene expression is all the genes that the cell expresses in a given time. Okay. So again, definition. When we say that a gene is expressed, we refer to the fact that we find the final functional product of the gene in a cell, okay? So you may have a situation in which a gene is transcribed, so it makes RNA, but then the RNA is eliminated or it doesn't work. So this is not called expression. Expression is when we have the functional product encoded by the gene, either RNA, if it's an encoding RNA, or a protein, and that product is correctly processed and correctly localized, so it functions, okay? Okay, so the expression of genes is carefully controlled, okay? In humans, we know more than 2,500 proteins that are employed exclusively to control gene expression. This is impressive because you know that we estimate that we have more or less 20,000 protein genome wide. Okay, so it means that more than 10% of the coding capacity of the genome is employed to control itself. Okay, so we will see that these 2,500 proteins are actually transcription factors. Okay. So we have what we call genome regulatory network. It means a network of proteins and RNA or whatever that control this activity. And of course, this is devised to fulfill a number of requirements. Which genes the cell has to express, when, so the time, How much? Another very important story is homeostasis. So the cell must know how many copies of a protein of RNA must contain. Okay, when you think, okay, gene expression. I activate the RNA polymerase, but the question is, does the RNA polymerase continue to make RNA forever? At which speed? How many molecules per hour? And then, when you have RNA, it is translated by the ribosome forever. How many times? How many copies of the proteins are produced? This is an important question because it's a quantitative regulation, and this very, let's say, very fine, very tight control mechanism for that. Because every time, imagine that there are proteins in which if you have overexpression or low expression, you get tumor. We mentioned ERBB2 just before. ERBB2, if I overexpress ERBB2, I get tumors. You remember P53? What is P53? If you have low expression of P53, you get tumors. It means that the quantity is important in that case, okay? Not the expression yes, not. How much? And for how long? This is another problem, because of course when you have a gene response, this gene response cannot last forever. For example, I say hypoxia, just to make an example. The cell goes down of oxygen. It will activate mechanisms to survive in low oxygen, but then the oxygen will, for example, will return to the normal level, so you have to stop the program that you have activated. So how long is also a very important story, okay? Think that there are genes that are activated for a few minutes. For example, you ever heard about a gene that is called CFOS? Whenever you have a cell that gets a stimulus, like hormone or shock or whatever, it activates FOS. It encodes for a transcription factor that will regulate something around. Now, if you look at a cell, you give a stimulus and you have expression for about 30 minutes and then it goes down, okay? So there is a mechanism in which the production of the initial molecules of FOS will stop production of it. It's a feedback regulation. It's very important because otherwise the cell will be in a hyper-excited state forever. So it should respond, but then stop the response, okay? So that's very important. How long is another story. And so we try to understand also how the regulatory network says this kind of stories that I told you, okay? Now, coming to the very last 5 minutes, you have in your Moodle, you have a text with G as a very initial review. This is a review by Levin that is talking about G regulation. So let's see if I can get back the Moodle site for a minute. And then we finish today's lesson. Impossibile. Impossibile in English means impossible. Still impossibile. Okay, so let me see. Quasi finito, eh? Okay, so here we go. Just a minute. Ah, sorry, stupid story. Back, okay. So I wanted to make this Okay, if you go there, you find the first paper. Here, okay? So this is the textbook G. This is a review by Levin. Is that happening anything? Nothing happens. Why? Doesn't work. Anyway, you will find this is a paper. It may be a little difficult for you in some passages, but I don't know. Try. Just try. Then when you have read the paper, there is an activity here. This one. Okay. It will open at 12 today. Not now, so you have the time to read it, at least. And we'll close tomorrow at 9. It's a small quiz, just to verify that you have got some concept over there. Something like 10 questions, no more than that. And then you have 50 minutes, and you have three essay allowed, so you can try it three times if you want. If you don't want, one is enough. Okay? So, what we do tomorrow? Tomorrow we won't discuss this paper. Because, as I told you before, we have to discuss first genome organization. So tomorrow, in the morning, we discuss genome organization. That is important for starting bioinformatics. Okay? But please do this activity as a very first step. I'm finished. Any question? Okay.
Allora, io volevo fare il progetto traineeship per il prossimo anno ed ero molto interessato nella parte dei NIRNA e insomma dei non coding RNA, però sto avendo difficoltà a cercare una struttura che lavora su quello. In particolare,
deve essere una struttura dove?
Io preferirei all'estero, sto cercando un po' dappertutto.
A lei è interessato a studiare dal punto di vista bioinformatico e dal punto di vista
molecolare?
Wet biology.
Esatto.
Wet biology.
Nel senso...
Io conosco bene uno dei rimasti specialisti di bioinformatica sui MIRNA, che però lavorano solo su quello.
In particolare a me interessa la loro applicazione nel campo della cardiologia. Perché a Trieste molti anni fa è uscito un articolo che sono riusciti a riattivare la proliferazione a seguito di un infarto. Qualcosa del genere.
Beh, non stavo pensando a chi parlare più che altro, perché io non è che conosco molto. C'è chi parla di questa roba qua, ci sono quelli del mio dipartimento, non so se li conosci, i fisiologi del mio dipartimento. La professoressa Penna, no, mi darebbe qua.
Okay.
Professoressa si chiama Claudia Penna, oppure Daniele Mancardi, che sono. Loro lavorano su quello, su cardiomiocisti, eccetera. Forse magari loro conoscono delle,
okay,
delle strutture fuori che lavorano direttamente su quel problema. Perché io adesso pensando così non. Io purtroppo ho una, non ho capito, una derivazione del cancer, per cui non conosco molto in altri settori, devo dire.
E come posso contattare in caso questi
professori? Può scrivere, oppure se fa una visita una volta lì a San Luigi li trova. Scrivere claudia.penna.it.
Ok.
E l'altro si chiama daniele.mancardi.
Ok. Perfetto, dipende da Daniele.
Provi a chiedere, poi li trova sul sito, il dipartimento si chiama Scienze Cliniche e Biologiche, l'ha visto qua.
Perfetto.
Li trova sul sito, provi a chiedere, se vuole io se la vedo oggi glielo posso anticipare, sarà contattata da uno studente.
Magari.
Però io francamente proprio di quella roba lì non è che conosco molto. Noi facciamo molto non coding, non tanto short non coding in laboratorio. E stavo pensando proprio la community dei microRNA, non è che la conosco così bene. Ecco, un'altra persona che potrebbe intervistare, che probabilmente la può aiutare, è Daniela Taverna qui all'MBC. Daniela Taverna insegna buona medicina, credo. Una volta insegnava anche qui da noi, ma adesso è medicina. E lei è proprio una specialista di Mirna, se lei fa una ricerca bibliografica su Daniela Taverna, vede che ha fatto un profluvio di roba su mRNA, anche lei in cancer, perché anche lei lavora sul cancer, però magari invece essendo nella Mirna community magari conosce bene.
È solo l'applicazione, certo. Sono aperto anche a cambiare idea.
Comunque, se sente queste persone, uno dal punto di vista cardio, invece per Mirna direi soprattutto degli altri.
Ok, ringrazio molto.
Prego. Sì, dobbiamo fare l'iscrizione. We should make the enrollment, yes. Can you just leave me your name?
Yes, of course.
This is the important story. And then I will take care of you.
Okay, grazie mille.
She have a mail?
Yes.
Address? Torino?
I don't know the email address. I will try to find it. And my unit so I can...